We were kind of like art criminals. We saw stuff. We liked it. We took it. We took it home. We destroyed it. We ripped it to pieces. We were the enemies of society. We were the highly unusual suspects. Highly Unusual Suspects reviewing The Monuments Men, which you probably never heard of.
No.
But you will.
But George Clooney's going to force you to do so because he's a bleeding heart art lover.
Say what you will about this film that Clooney indeed directed, stars in, wrote, and produced. It's based on a true story that I had never even fucking heard of. I had no idea this was a thing.
The weird thing is George Clooney was actually the guy who did all that stuff.
In real life.
Yeah, it wasn't enough that he stars and directs and writes.
I was sad that he's looking old enough now that seems plausible.
Well, they did get his dad to play his dad in this.
Yeah,
so.
Really?
Yeah, that was Nick Clooney at the very end.
Oh, so they didn't dub his voice in because it sounded just like George Clooney.
No, because Nick Clooney sounds like his dad.
Oh, no.
Or rather, George Clooney sounds like his dad, who is Nick Clooney.
I wonder how many cocktail waitresses the two of them picked up on.
Oh, my God.
The better question is how many that they tag teamed.
Not the better question.
Yes, it is.
Like Eiffel Tower, Paris, yeah. Tie this all together.
Man, Father's Day is weird at your house.
They do the Go Team Clooney.
Well, they intentionally filmed in Paris.
But they don't use their fingers.
Where the Clooneys are much more popular. They're like, what was Rosemary like? Anyway, here on this review, I am Chris Cox.
I'm Ashley Moreno.
Hello.
And you
We're doing names this time.
Yes, I figured you figured it by the context, but that's okay.
Yes.
Elliot.
Just Elliot. He's like Cher.
I do believe in life after love.
I know. That scares me a little.
You people don't need to know my last name.
Well, you've said it before, so it's kind of moot now.
Shh.
Oh, sorry. I'm not saying that he does say it in other reviews, but he does say it in other reviews. Anyway, this is The Monuments Men, which takes a look at a true story, or at least based on a true story, of something that was going on towards the end of World War II, where basically an art scholar, played here by George Clooney, George L. Stout, because I guess he's getting senile and he needs to name his characters after himself.
Or beers.
Realizes that all these valuable pieces of art are being destroyed by random bombings.
It seems that, much like lost arcs, Hitler has a penchant for collecting art.
So, and lost art.
Yes, he is actually a raider of lost art.
Yeah, if only this had been exciting as a voyage as Indiana Jones had.
You could. I did like that part where the boulder came down and then the Belgians stole the idol from him.
And somebody probably said at one point that all that stuff belonged in a museum.
Yeah, I think they actually did, for the record. But he presents to the president at the time, says, look, this is a problem. And not only that, but we know that Hitler is stealing major works of art to bring them back to Germany to try and form, like, a Führer museum to make them all, like, you know, I mean, just going into all the territories, Italy and Belgium and all over the...
Euro Disney.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to take Cinderella's castle, not cool.
Actually, they already had Neuschwanstein, which is the basis, so true. Hey.
Now, that's a movie true. I want to see. The Disney stars were Pelvin Nazis. That's what I
want to see. That movie exists.
I think you have to wait until 2016, where the option for Disney to buy Nazis opens up.
Yeah, once they own every franchise, and yes, the Nazis are a franchise.
Nazis are a huge franchise now.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you look at, and I'm not going to get off on this tangent a little too long, but if you look at pirates, like, raped and pillaged and killed, and if people dress them as Halloween, nobody dresses as a Nazi unless you're, like, a Prince of Britain.
Why do you always got to bring it back to pirates? What is your thing with pirates?
Fuck pirates.
Hey, fuck you!
So he forms a team. He's like, well, you know what? I need a team to go rescue these pieces of art before they get brought back. Because Hitler's big plan is ultimately, if he loses, which at this point looks like he's going to, is to destroy them. So he's like, well, this is unacceptable. Cannot take it. So he calls Matt Damon, Bill Murray, John Goodman, Jean Dujardin, who, if you don't know, was the lead actor in The Artist, which was terrific, Bob Balaban, Hugh Bonneville, to get together and...
It's like an A-team, but everybody's old and schlubby and about to die.
Ocean's 57.
It's a ballsy move. group. You think they would have gotten like a one real soldier?
They got one.
Well, Matt Damon is arguably seems like the guy who's got more. He's actually in the military, even though he comes from an art background. So he's kind of got it. And Jean Dujardin is a guy who's like.
We need to get at least one, like, handsome, hunky guy, but let's make sure he's French.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I would have been in the military, I would have been in this war, but I had bad eyesight and bad hearing, so.
And I would like to point out that I'm also the youngest on my over 30 soccer team. So, much like that, we did have Matt Damon.
So, if the Nazis come back, you're in.
I'm the best shot y'all got for rescuing those.
Well, you are blonde, so.
This team needs boobs.
That's true. Well, they did save that Madonna.
It'll make better movies.
I'm going to hell for that.
Yes, that's Sergeant Boobs to you.
Not sexist at all. No.
She started it. I don't know what to tell you. Well, actually, you said
boobs.
I don't see anything sexist about boobs.
No. Everybody in this room has them.
This is true. Just
I think we've all got nice sets.
This is the best discussion that's ever happened.
No.
I'm sorry. That rock was and roll. Unacceptable.
At least in recent memory.
See?
There's
a ghost in the room.
Yeah, you've had three puns in a row. Ghost Guess who hit. Shows up?
You know, I think the there's interesting acting in this movie. Obviously, you've got a lot of great actors, a lot of anticipation from me ahead of time. Especially, you know, anything with Bill Murray at this point. You're just it's Bill Murray, gotta see it.
And he's awesome in this. They toss him a lot of bones where he's obviously kind of playing and great bits.
He gets some of the more entertaining sequences in this film, I would say. Or even more, not even just funny, but
he gets some very meaningful stuff.
He gets some good stuff. And there's other good actors, like Cate Blanchett has an interesting role in here as a woman who was forced to work, a French woman who was forced to work with the Nazis at sort of the center for, like, bringing all the art in and then sending it out, who's been secretly keeping track of it all and trying to, like, have something she can do after, you know, at some point she feels like, I've got to be able to do something to keep track of this stuff. But when Matt Damon shows up, after the Nazis have taken off, all the art's gone, she's like, I don't trust you either. You Americans, you're just going to grab all this stuff and take it for yourself. So there's what...
Which, admittedly, is a very likely scenario.
But there should be more of an interesting arc for that. I mean, there's a point where he's like, look, here's the actual papers that show that Hitler is going to destroy this art if he loses. And she's like, yeah, I'd still rather that happen than you guys get a hold of
it. The problem with this movie is it's so broad. They're about, like... five really good movies in here, and instead they try to do all of the stories and intertwine them, and it just doesn't cohere.
Yeah, that was really my thought watching it, is that there's such great little moments of dialogue, especially with Bill Murray, that are really clever, really funny, really engaging. Matt Damon, Cate Blanchett for sure.
Yeah.
But when I was watching the movie as a whole, I felt like it was The Montage Men. There was 20 montages. They have to cover so much ground.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I feel like they were sold it on, like, it's like Ocean's 11, but based on a real historical thing. And so it's got actual, like, it's going to bring in the art crowd. It's going to bring in the pop crowd. This is nothing like Ocean's 11, first off. So don't make that mistake. The problem is that it's not like they've got this one big, well-organized plan that, like that movie, you watch play out in all its segments. It's more like, okay, you go here, you go there, you go there, and then the movie splits up into these segments that all aren't really directly connected.
It's almost like the movie did a disservice to itself by actually being very loyal to what actually happened. And it's just like, because that's how real life actually happens, you know? It's a bunch of different stuff at once. It's not this, like, thing with through lines and beats and plot points. And unfortunately, that doesn't serve this thing well.
No, I completely agree. And actually, hearing all y'all, I was really worried that I would be the only one that thought that. Because I was sitting there, I was like, there's not really one narrative going through this.
God, I just want to be the guy in the room you're the one guy who doesn't like it and everybody else loves
it'll
it.
It'll happen.
I know, but I want to be there.
One thing I
just want to see what it is.
One thing I did like about the movie is, you know, when I started seeing the trailers for it, the concern is that you, even in the trailers, you see a speech that George Clooney gives about it. If we're not fighting for culture and art, then what are we fighting for? And it's like, well, George Clooney said genocide.
My concern
was that we were going to play down that although this is a very interesting, clearly important and vital part of the war, especially towards the end, don't want to lose sight of the tragedy that kind of happened around it. And I thought that the movie did a really good job of, not necessarily in a gory way, but they had very careful placements mm-hmm. that called back the suffering and loss of life and other kind of themes that were going through the war.
Yeah, they touched on it just enough.
To remind you.
To not let it take over the movie, but enough to make you go, like, where these characters who go into this with, you know, single-minded in their mm-hmm. mission, start realizing exactly how horrible everything else that's going on over there.
Yeah.
And by the time it gets to the point where they actually have to, you know, deal with points where they're like, wow, we actually are finding some of this art that got destroyed, it turns into more of a sort of, like parallel in their reaction than it is like, oh, this is more horrible than that, which I thought was well done. In fact, I thought one of the movie's big strengths is, even though the first half of it really is just kind of like, wow, you're just all over the place, it does kind of find its footing halfway mm-hmm. through the second act. And by the end of it, while not completely with it, I still think it was more on point than it started with, especially with things like that.
Yeah.
You were like, okay, the relationships, as slow as they were to build, and as much as there aren't any big total relationships, it's just sort of like these two characters, have all sort of come to an arc by the end that you're like, okay, I did sure. get something out
and
of
it. And, you know, you certainly can't fault the movie for being bad, and one of the reasons for that is it's very earnest. You know, it really wants to get its point across. It's a great point. You know, it like I said, it just doesn't serve itself well in you know, trying to paint too broad a picture, if you will.
Well, I'll tell you, this might be a little controversial, but I think it would have been a better movie if they didn't have such big name actors, and that they could have spent less time in the beginning giving them all such great scenes. That I love those scenes, but it would have been a tighter movie if we could have skipped like about 30 minutes of this setup. And say, okay, we recruited them. You're in Germany. Let's go. Let's get the Madonna back. Let's get the Madonna back, and let's get the
make them seem more like men on a mission. Yeah, as opposed to like, oh, look at all these stars we got.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Even the Muppet movie found a quick way to get through that.
That's true.
Yeah. They can breeze over Ralph. Ralph, rather.
Nobody cares about Ralph.
You don't even know his name.
Hey. Poor Ralph. Aww, he's great.
Can't live with him. You can't live without him. Ralph's your favorite Muppet, but no, never mind. I don't know.
Did your virginity just grow back just now?
It did. I'm the Monument's high man.
Oh, that just happened.
It did. I apologize deeply for it. I'm just going to say ghost tits again and get go on from there.
And we want them back.
They love ghost tits. They go, oh, drink. There's things that really I found were effective. Y'all mentioned Bill Murray before. His partner is Bob Balaban, is one of the people that probably a lot of the people watching this will be less familiar with, but they have this cool relationship throughout this.
Once again, there are five great movies here, and you could have done like, man, you could have just made a silent movie about Bob Balaban and Bill Murray just kind of awkwardly wandering through, you know, the Battle of the Bulge, and I would have been a happy camper.
That would have been made by Wes Anderson, though.
That's
the thing, though. All these things seem like there are so many great scenes that seem like they're taken out of a totally different movie.
Right.
That they would have mm-hmm. contextually felt more impact for. Because they're, like I said, great scenes, great writing in those scenes, but what the fuck does this have to do with the rest of the movie?
Exactly.
You know, yeah. You're like, this is like not really the point of everything else here. There are moments that I'm going, it's not making me want to keep watching this film. It's making me want to go back and watch, like the Battle of the Bulge scene.
Ocean's
like,
11.
You just want to not watch Ocean's 11. You want to watch, what was that HBO series?
Oh, Band of Brothers.
Band of Brothers. You're like, I know what happens here. And it was better in Band of Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Good performances and all, but just there's no cohesion throughout all these parts. Nice as some of the parts may be, and also it's just not that funny when it wants to be. It keeps trying to be funny at points, especially in the first reel,
mm-hmm.
and it just stumbles over itself. There's like almost awkward silences after jokes at points in this film. You feel like you're just like the theater's silent. You're just like.
Well, one thing early on, you talked about it kind of catching its stride around the second act. I have to agree. One of the things it did, especially really early on, is it almost had a kind of jokey Captain America, like, Uncle Sam wants you, kind of like feel to it, especially to like the, I guess, title, like the intro cards coming in.
When they found Bill Murray?
Correct. That, like, I thought was like, oh no, what are we getting ourselves into? And it did look like every sort of shot was like a postcard that started to make me a little bit nervous. And they dropped that stylistically and started focusing more on the relationships between the people that they kind of scattered around the map And I think that helped a lot. But just that also had something to do with the discontinuity for me anyways.
Well, one thing, we've been talking a lot about the flaws in the movie, and there are a few. But one thing I want to say was one thing I really think that they did a great job on was telling you why it was so important about what they did in saving this art. When they were talking about it's these paintings that were based in a chapel in Bruges, mm-hmm. and why that was important, and basically that is the painting of the Catholic Church.
They were in Ghent, but...
Yeah. Like, that's the painting of the Catholic Church. Like, that is the seminal painting. That is a part of the culture. And what they said was during the movie that you can decimate a people, but if you decimate their culture, they're never coming back.
Yeah, the movie repeatedly keeps trying to bang away at that message. And it's a hard message to get through when you're talking about World War II.
Yeah.
You know, but I felt like one of the things that succeeds is it eventually does make its point with that.
Oh, absolutely.
As much as you might be cynical about this sort of thing, seriously, you're sending in guys to save art when all this is going on? They make the point strongly enough that you do finally get it. And like, that's one of the stronger sentences there. Well, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to walk out of this and go like, saving art is a bad idea.
If it has a message, it's ultimately trying to convince its audience that the art is as important.
Right.
As it,
in doing that, you lose some investment in the character. Yeah. There's some very loose characterization here, and a lot of it feels two-dimensional. And that's sad, because it's a great subject. There, like I said, there are five great stories here. Yeah. Somebody just sort of picked one.
Yeah, one of my favorite ways that I think they more subtly carried that theme was when George Clooney is giving one of his many speeches. But this one is more, he's laying out a map and he's like, hey, so the Nazis are losing. Newsflash. And now the Allied forces are coming through here, and it's basically through the boot of Italy. And he's like, we're going to go through Rome. We're going to go through Florence. And we're coming in this direction. We're going to go through Paris. And he's like, can we stop for a moment and think about what is housed in these places on the map? And that was, I think, the best job that the movie did of driving home the value of the work that they did without seeming preachy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although it was a little weird when Bill Murray called up Yelp and started reading out reviews and stuff.
Well, you know, it turns out you get a great cup of coffee in Florence, but you got to know where to go.
It's true. Look right here.
You got to know the right people.
I'm on Thrillist, top 10 places in Venice to get a cup of coffee.
They give you a little lemon wedge there with the espresso. It's great.
It's delicious.
Well, you say that, and I just kept on waiting for Bill Murray's character from Stripes to just show up. Just to, like, have
Well, yeah, he's in military fatigue. So, is there even another movie where he's been in military fatigues other than Stripes?
Ghostbusters?
That's not doesn't count. That is not.
No, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Played a
wow.
Soldier.
So this is like Stripes 2.
It is Stripes 2, the enartening.
Where's the RV? I want to see it. Art V.
Harold Amos won't allow it to be used.
I don't know. I mean, like, I wanted this to be really good, and maybe that hurt it a little that I came into it like so many good people. I mean, Jean Dujardin, who I love, and I'm waiting. When is his next big film coming? Because he was in the two OSS parody films, which are terrific, and then The Artist. It seems like everything since then has been little supporting roles, kind of forgettable.
Yeah, he's definitely he seems to have taken to flirting with the American market, and it's just like, dude, just make another French movie.
And anytime you have Clooney and Damon on screen together, you're just like, seriously, when is Brad Pitt making?
Yeah.
You might not know this, but they can change history with their smiles.
They could.
They really can.
Very much could. And of course, like I said, I mean, John Goodman is so great. It seems like anytime these days Goodman agrees to even be in anything, it's because he's confident to some degree about the artiness of it.
Well, I tell you, actually, it was something I was telling Bo and Ashley before the movie started. I am, and this is not to be cynical and it's not to be insensitive, but I am so glad that John Goodman's still alive.
Yeah.
And I feel like nobody gets the flowers while they can still smell them. So I just want to say, John Goodman, you're not listening to this, but I enjoy your work. You are a great actor, and I'm glad that you're still making movies.
Elliot,
but
that this is a recording, right? Yeah. By the time this plays, it might be too soon.
That guy's about three plates of crawfish étouffée away from a heart attack, I'm just saying.
Somebody needs to move him out of New Orleans.
Exactly. It's like, dude, go to Cincinnati. What have they got there? Spaghetti and chili on a plate? Fuck
every
it.
Other, like, big actor who's died young was doing a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, John Goodman, I get the sense, is just one of those, like, have my glass of wine, now I'm going to go home to the wife and kids and have a nice relaxed evening at home in front of the TV.
And then I'm going to eat a pie.
Although sedentary will kill you, as my doctor keeps reminding me. The funniest thing with this movie for me was there was an awkward, they paint Cate Blanchett as this sort of like horrific bitch throughout most of this movie, kind of.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know that's what you were getting. No, I was like,
she's so nasty. And like,
no, I guess she's bitter about having being forced to work for Nazis and being branded a collaborator.
You know, I get that, but the same thing is like, all right off the bat, the Americans have done nothing wrong.
But they're
like,
Americans.
And I'm not one of those like pro flag waving guys, you know that, but like, it's like, come on, man, this guy's doing everything. He's even, you know, I mean, he's even showing you paperwork of like things that he's doing right, and you're still going, nope, don't trust
well,
you.
But that's...
And then she turns around to like, you know, he's like, hey, why don't you come over for dinner? And it's like, you got the Marvin Gaye on and everything. It's like, wow. So the records.
Yes, as soon as she found out, as soon as she read the story where like, oh, they actually returned the art and he hasn't been blowing smoke up my ass, that's when she does her turnaround.
No, I agree. So it's just, it took her too long to reach that conclusion.
I completely disagree with you.
Yeah, because what she says is, he was like, I'm here to return art. And she was like, I kind of believe you, maybe, but
I was a librarian for a long time, and I know how this goes.
No, but she was like, but who's going to actually be handling the art? Will your men return it? I know that they're, you know, in other places looking for things, and I think she just had an appreciation for all the moving parts that went into
the art. Yeah, and there wasn't a broad history of, oh, well, when the soldiers when a new set of soldiers occupies your town, then everything turns great. I mean, that had never happened
before. Well, I agree with that. At the same time, she already knew what the Nazis were going to do, and it was like, you know what? The better the devil I know and smiling and behind the voice of the face of Matt Damon than Hitler. I'm just saying.
But that's not the devil she knows. The devil she knows is the Nazis.
Yeah, but they were just being the devil. Matt Damon was at least like offering her tea and crumpets.
I don't know. That her in this movie was one of the most realistic things about it,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah,
so
I agree with
both. Like,
one thing I would like to bring up is not only were the Nazis occupying it, she suffers a loss, a personal loss.
Yeah.
In the middle of it, and then she has to deal with all this change. I think she can be forgiven for being a little bit crusty.
I'm gonna shoot her in the face.
One thing I will say is I am a little surprised at the change from blowing smoke up my ass till I'll blow you.
Yeah.
Like, that is a pretty, like...
And it wasn't even hot, subtle.
It was pretty hot and cold.
Like I said, that
she's cold makes sense
for me. The most awkward point where it was just like the way the film handled it was that it was so, what? And she literally was like, you know, putting on Marvin Gaye records at that point.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Well, he is dreaming.
Maybe it was me that's why I had a hard time believing anybody would be that resistant, because I'm like, Matt Damon could come in right now and be like, you're going to give up everything that you do and come join the Peace Corps with me. I'd be like, all right, Matt Damon, whatever you say.
I hope Matthew McConaughey comes in here and takes his shirt off.
You could swim in his eyes.
No, not really. But, you know, he would make a convincing argument, I'm feeling, nonetheless.
Yeah.
You know, if it was Clooney, it'd be like, forget about it. We'd all be
in
Africa digging trenches and going, how the fuck did we get here?
And who put the skirt on me?
He smiled at me.
Forget that. I would convince him to take me in Chicago and go to a hospital. He needs to be back on ER, and ER needs to be back on the air.
Good Lord.
My God, man. That was...
Let it go.
No! Seriously.
Grey's Anatomy can go to hell. It's about ER.
The theme of the night has been too soon. That was like the reverse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Too late.
Too late.
The only guy who still feels that way.
country's gone to hell since they took Seinfeld off the air, I tell you.
Juliana Margulies? Sure, I'll end it up. Anyway, let's go to the final thoughts on this one, Bo.
Like I said, there's five great movies here, and none of them really cohere as a final product. Great message, and like a lot of movies out there, there's some good fine performances, but overall, it just kind of sinks to a good level at best. I give it 3 frustrated German artists.
Too soon. Yeah, I mean, I really think that I kind of agree with Bo, and I think for the most part, the two of you as well. There were a lot of good moments, but I think it just tried to cover too much ground. The individual performances of each of the actors I thought was fabulous. I liked the footage of Europe that they had. Really great moments, but in the end, I think since it was such broad strokes, I think it's going to be forgettable. So I will give it, 7 out of 10 montages.
Lord.
Because there was a lot of montages.
Yes, there were.
Well, sometimes you need a montage. For me, it was good, but it had a bunch of good moments. It didn't have a narrative through line, and that all these stories never seemed to weave together. Like, there was never this one overriding mission that they wanted to save the Madonna, and then they wanted to save that group of paintings that hung in that chapel, but they never really tied together. So for me, I'd have to give it, six Louvres out of 10.
You know, I feel like, I mean, we keep saying it doesn't tie together. It does technically tie together. It just doesn't feel like it does.
Yeah.
All of these feel so much like separate pieces going on. There's so many different tonal things going on at once. It feels like a bunch of, like, I always talk about movies and saying, like, comedies and say, that's just a bunch of set pieces tied together loosely by a plot. This is a drama that's a bunch of set pieces
tied together loosely by
a plot. You don't see that as often, certainly, but this is one of those, it's trying to give everybody equal time to some degree, and maybe that was a mistake, quite frankly. They're all in service to the story that's an interesting story, but it just makes me want to see a documentary about these guys, quite frankly, more than watch this film. It's not a bad film. It's just not really that good of a film either. And ultimately, I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 broken frames.
No.
I know, right? Isn't that sad?
You know, now that I'm thinking about those paintings, I feel bad.
You should feel bad.
Think of all the
great art we've lost because you didn't like this movie enough.
It's true.
Chris, lolcats don't count as art.
Shut up, Elliot. Yes, they do.